Good morning, Papa Springs. I want to thank you guys for joining us today. I know it's a bit cold out there and not the best of all weather. This week hasn't been the best for that, but I do thank you for joining us today and for those who are joining us online. I do have just a couple of announcements today. The first one being youth. This Wednesday will be 6th and 10th grade from 6 to 7:30. Please try and let Nicole know if you are planning to be here. The church conference and council will be next Sunday. So if you are planning to be there for those, just plan accordingly. And then for the last announcements, I will recognize Clyde.
Good morning. Well, for the last 6 weeks, we've slowly but surely been building this van. Last Sunday, we told you we were quite sure that was when we were aiming to have all the money in by last Sunday, and I told you we were quite sure you were going to make it. Well, actually, you did. So, we needed to have a cover over the driver so he or she wouldn't get wet. So we've got one of those now to put right over there. And all we need to do is finish painting that in. Bob Ross, I'm not. Sure is quiet out there. You're afraid I'm going to have a wreck, aren't you? Yes, by all means. We told you early on the vehicle was right at $60,000. Actually, it was $59,456, something like that. Last Sunday, after you gave them finished, we got all the money, I called them. I said, well, we have our money together, and we sure hope we can get together on the price so we can buy your vehicle. He said, that was the best price I already offered you. I said, uh-huh. Well, actually, he dropped it another $1,000, so the vehicle's actually about $58,400. So we needed you to give $30,000. I'm not sure exactly what you did give, but as of last Monday when I talked to Vicki last, you had given over $31,000. So you've got far more than enough to put the sign, the logos, and everything on there. The only other detail, we're Baptists, and to spend this kind of money, we have to vote officially to do it. We have our business conference next Sunday. The transportation committee will say, we recommend that since you bought the money and got all the money together, that we buy this van that you've already seen. The finance committee will say, we're going to take what you gave, and we're going to take some from here, and some from here, and some from here that we've been building up for several years. Y'all want to do that? And the moderator will say, all in favor say aye. And all the congregation will say, well, duh, aye. And then he'll say, as Andy Oliver would say, any opposed, no, and there is none. So the week after that, the van will be ours, and it will be here on the church parking lot. Congratulations, you did a super, super job. busy. Can I testify something else? Hand me that microphone. Has nothing to do with the van. I just forgot a while ago that they say, if you know something good, you need to testify. For those of you who wear glasses, I'm going to save your life this morning. I was at the Scruggs Center this past week, and this lady says, you know what I just discovered? She took a Kleenex, folded it up just like that, stuck it right in the nose of her mask. You get no more every time you breathe. Go home and try that and tell everybody else in the world. It works. We don't.
We come now to our time of community at prayer, and we encourage you all to check your newsletter and to be looking at the names listed in the newsletter that are in need of prayer. Will you pray with me? We pray together as a community today, lifting the names, the many names, God, on our church prayer list and our hearts. And God, we ask in faith that you continue to do the unseen work of healing and sowing seeds of hope and peace when healing looks differently than we expect. Continue to be the one who knows more than your created things, and continue to guide our minds to ideas and solutions and our hearts to faith and trust. God, today we will be reminded of how you've called us to live and act, and so in preparation for your word, may this be a time of repentance. We have found so many ways to disgrace the body of Christ. When you have privileged us with being the hands of Christ, we have used those hands to type hateful comments, to spread false information, to share pictures and words that have done nothing to build up the body, but only to tear it down. Forgive us for the destruction that we've brought upon your beautiful kingdom. When you have privileged us with being the feet of Christ, We have used our feet to stomp in the direction of our own beliefs and our own desires. We have marched angrily away from opportunities to listen to our neighbors, the ones who are oppressed, the ones we simply do not like, the ones we flat out hate. Forgive us for choosing the easier path of leaving instead of standing still and having hard conversations to find resolutions and commonalities. And Father, forgive us over and over again for the countless ways we have undone your work of healing and reconciliation with the murderous weapon of our tongue, for how we have slandered the names of people we don't even know, for how we've shouted curses upon people who don't think like us, and how we've done so in your holy name. Forgive us for waking up and forgetting the great mercy you bestowed on each of us, sinners deserving of death, and to think we could ever point a finger at someone else for their shortcomings or their selfish behavior. God of second chances, as we approach the final days of an extremely divisive and hate-filled time in our country, would you be willing to wash us clean and help us start over? Even though some of us aren't ready, not ready to be humbled or redirected, but for the sake of your kingdom, will you take your church, full of sinners, and grant us your mind and your heart? May we see beyond ourselves and understand the miraculous way that you use us and our differences to bring about your good and healing work. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. Good morning, church family. I'm going to try that one more time. You are a lot happier during announcements. Good morning, church family.
Morning.
There we go. This morning, I'm not Andy. This morning, Andy has the privilege of being at his home church. They are celebrating All Saints Day, which is today, and celebrating the saints in their church who have passed. And if you remember back in January, Andy's father at 100 went on to be with his Lord. So Andy is able to be there to represent his family this morning, so we're very thankful that he has that chance. And so Andy reached out to me and asked if I would be willing to speak in his absence. And when I thought forward to this Sunday, it dawned on me, this is the Sunday before Election Day. Now, you don't always hear politics spoken from the pulpit, and I am sure by simply saying the word election that I have most all of your attention. And I hope that's true, because there is something all of us, including myself, need to hear this morning. But first things first, let me tell you what I'm not going to say this morning. First of all, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. There's a reason you don't hear politics spoken from the pulpit. That's because as your ministers, our job is not to tell you who to vote for. We hope that you simply vote. You have the right to vote as citizens, and we hope you exercise that right. But our job's not to tell you which candidate to pick. Just simply that you'll go and vote. Secondly, I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. I voted early. My ballot has been cast. And that's all you need to know. I'm not going to tell you which bubbles I colored in. I'm also not going to direct you in which political agenda you should support. There are plenty of them out there, as I'm sure you know. But this morning, I'm not going to tell you which one is right and which one is wrong. And finally, speaking of right and wrong, this morning I'm not going to solidify which political party is right or wrong. That's not my job. So if when you heard me say and allude to Election Day and politics, you were hoping that those were the things I was going to talk about this morning, I'm really sorry to disappoint you. But I hope you won't tune me out just yet. You may be thinking to yourself, well, Catherine said she was going to talk about the election, and I was really hoping this is what she'd finally talk about. Someone would finally give their opinion on this stuff from the pulpit. So if she's not going to talk about that, then what is she going to talk about? Right now, I have the joy of remote teaching my daughter during parts of the week. I think some of you have that same joy. I've grew up with a mother who was a teacher. I'm married to a teacher, but I have never appreciated teachers more than 2020. But just a few months ago, Sadie's giving me a thumbs up. That's right, girl. Just a few months ago, part of our homework for social studies was to talk about what it means to be in a community and to be a citizen. We talked about what is a community, what is a citizen, a mayor, taxes, laws, the election. And that's a perfect time for her to be learning about all this, for all these kids to be learning this, because this is a noteworthy year. All of us in this room and those watching, we are all citizens of this country. Or if you're not, welcome from whatever country you're from. We all have certain rights and we abide by certain laws. But those of us who profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we also hold a citizenship elsewhere in the kingdom of God. And while our citizenship on this earth is temporary, our citizenship in the kingdom is eternal. And just like we're expected to follow laws and be good citizens in this country, we are called by our Creator to live and act a certain way in the kingdom. And the way we live out our citizenship in the kingdom should directly affect how we live out our citizenship here on earth. Now, clearly, I'm not up here to give you a lecture on American citizenship. If you would like more information about that, I would like to direct you to David Bryson or Mr. Roger Harris. I'm sure they can give you a lot more information than I ever could. So what does life lived in the kingdom look like? We have to remember that the kingdom of God is not just our future life in heaven. The kingdom is here and now. It's us. It's the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul, throughout the New Testament, gives a lot of instruction about what it looks like to live in the kingdom. And in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he talks about living as the body in Christ and what that looks like. So this morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And so if you'd like to join me as we read together, that would be great. But before we do that, I want us to do one more thing. I look nice. Thank you. I can't wear real glasses. I have my contacts in. So these are some prop glasses Nicole has. Anytime we come to Scripture, anytime we listen to a message, if we're being honest, all of us hear and read things through a set of lenses. Our political views, our own personal beliefs, we read things that way. We hear things that way. And so sometimes we hear Scripture or we read Scripture and say, that's right. That person over there needs to hear this. That's right. I hope that person over there heard that. This message this morning, this scripture, is for all of us. So this morning, I hope that we take off our lenses, no matter what they are. And I hope that we dig into the word as hearers of God's people. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then down to verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, we're not done with chapter 4. We're going to stop there for a minute because Paul unpacks a lot of advice on living according to the call that God has given us. Now, when Paul talks about living a life worthy of the calling, he's not just talking to pastors and ministers. A lot of times when we hear that word calling in Scripture, we think, oh, they're talking about people that work in the church. Or we think, oh, they're talking about the vocation that you have, the job that you're called to do. But here, Paul is simply referring to the calling to walk through life as a follower of God. So what does Paul say? What did you hear? He starts by saying to be humble and gentle, to be patient, to bear with each other in love, to work hard to keep the unity through peace. He reminds his listeners that there is one body, the body of Christ. Because of Jesus, there is no longer separation between Jew and Gentile. All the things that used to divide us are gone. And now through the death of Christ, there is one body and one faith, one baptism, and one God over all. Everything he's speaking about here is in regards to how we relate to one another. In verse 16, Paul says that the whole body of Christ is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's us. We are the supporting ligaments. We are the parts that hold the body of Christ together. And when we all do our part, the body grows and matures and is built up in love. So Paul's given us a lot of instructions so far, some characteristics of living in the kingdom. But all of those ways are pretty counter to our human nature, aren't they? Paul tells us to be patient and gentle and to love. But we're prone to being impatient. I know I am. We like to speak our minds and tell it like it is. We hold grudges and we seek punishments. We judge others and we get angry. So how are we supposed to choose this alternate way of Christ over what seems to come a lot more naturally to us? Well, Paul tells us, beginning in verse 22. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your old self and put on your new self, created by God. In other words, stop living your life like you did before you encountered Christ and stop giving in to the ways of human nature and instead live your life in reflection of Christ and his sacrifice. Sounds pretty easy, right? Dieting. Sounds pretty easy, right? No. Anyone who's ever gone on a diet knows that it's not just all that simple. When you first make the decision to lose weight or to get in better shape, you might be pumped and excited, maybe. But then someone brings cookies to work. Or the holidays roll around, like we're getting into now. Or you come home and you're just tired. Choosing to lose weight or to get in shape is just that. It's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make every day, sometimes several times throughout the day. You have to choose to say no to the carbs and choose to say no to just sitting on the couch. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when it came to dieting, there was just a magical flip of a switch you could do and you wouldn't want the cupcake, you wouldn't want the pasta, you'd want to go out and run some miles. Putting off your old self, your human nature, and putting on the ways of Christ is no different. There is no magic switch when you accept your salvation of Jesus that turns all of your decisions right and gives you a kingdom mindset. Every morning when we wake up, we have to choose which self we're going to put on, the old or the new. It's our choice. And oftentimes that choice has to be made over and over and over again throughout our day. When someone offends us, which self are we going to choose? When someone disagrees with us, which self are we going to choose? And then what will be the fallout of our choices? As I said at the beginning, this week is election week, and we have a choice to make. But that choice is not about which political party or candidate to pick. The choice is about how we are going to respond to one another. 2020 has brought its fair share of challenges and even heartache. But this year has also brought out, unfortunately, some of the worst in ourselves, and especially even those of us who profess Jesus. You see it on the news, people yelling hatred at one another, those in power unwilling to compromise and find common ground. But you know what? You don't have to turn on the news to find that. Just open up social media. Open up Facebook or Twitter. If you are not on social media, God bless you. You are saving yourself from a ton of animosity. We used to talk about social media in regards to kids and youth, the young people, as Andy likes to say. And we worried about cyberbullying and safety, and we still are concerned about those things. But I dare say that these social media platforms are used and abused by us adults just as much, if not more. These platforms have become a way for us to hide behind our screens and say whatever we'd like to whomever we'd like without having to look them in the eye when we do it. Over this past year, I've seen so many things displayed on social media that belittled and slandered people in power on both sides of the aisle. I've seen folks post love and Jesus on one day and hatred on the next. I've seen friends and family members become divided because they openly attack each other over their opinions. And don't get me wrong. We all have the right to our opinions, and we all have the right to agree and to disagree. But we also have a choice in how we respond to one another. And that choice can determine another's view of the faith. See, along the way, we forgot that our actions and our rhetoric point to what we believe and how we live. We forget that when others see us who profess Jesus, they pay attention to what we do and how we act. They are looking to see how our lives are different. They're looking to see if this whole Jesus thing is even worth it. And much like the Pharisees, sometimes they're even looking to trip us up. According to Scripture, every aspect of our lives should resemble gentleness and patience, humility and peace, kindness and love. So let me ask you, does your life look different? Do you make following Jesus look worth it? All of us fall short. All of us are sinners saved by grace. But does how we choose to interact with someone else point them to that same grace? Paul finishes up this part of his letter by reminding us what putting off the old and putting on the new should look like, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Christ loved this broken, sinful, flawed humanity so much that he was willing to give up his life for its salvation. That Democrat who believes in policies differently than you, Christ died for them. That Republican who's going to vote differently than you, Christ died for them. That leader or potential leader whom you disagree with, Christ died for them too. Christ died in the hopes that all of humanity would come to salvation through him and become a part of the kingdom of God. And those of us who have already accepted that salvation are called to make the choice to live our lives differently so that others may be drawn to that same life. They already see plenty of anger, plenty of bitterness, plenty of slander. Show them something different. They already hear plenty of hatred. Use words that build up. They already experience rudeness and judgment. Show them compassion and forgiveness. It's our choice to make. If you've ever been to Nicole's office, she has a very giant framed scripture on her wall. It's the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13. Most of us are familiar with that passage. Love is patient, love is kind. Hopefully we've all heard that at some point. This was our theme verse for Camp Horizon 2 years ago, I believe. And the translation of the framed one in Nicole's office is from the Message translation. Now, the Message translation may not be your favorite to read. It's honestly not one of my top three go-to translations that I go to. But it can sometimes offer a good commentary and perspective on Scripture. And I think for this one, it does so beautifully and perfectly. I was looking at Pinterest the other day, and a picture popped up, and it was of 1 Corinthians 13 opened in someone's Bible, and it had a post-it note on it, and it said, "Challenge yourself to put your name in this scripture." So instead of reading, "Love is patient, love is kind," "Catherine is patient, Catherine is kind." Challenging yourself to put your name and seeing if it's true. So as I conclude this morning, I'm going to read for us the Message translation of 1 Corinthians 13, and I challenge you to see if your name can fit. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, "Jump," and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. Love our neighbor extravagantly. Love our coworker extravagantly. Love our fellow Democrat or Republican extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Would you pray with me? Father God, sometimes following you is not easy. And so often our human nature pulls us in the opposite direction. God, in a world who so desperately needs to see something different, God, may you make us beacons of love, of compassion, of humility, of gentleness, of peace. It's a choice that we have to make every day, God. Sometimes every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes every minute. This world is hard, and we are not an easy people to get along with. God, change our hearts and renew our minds, that we may remember what it means to be a part of your kingdom. Amen.
Running in circles, jumping the hurdles, getting caught in that rush of doing so much, feeling kind of worn out, all this checking the boxes, trying to be flawless, has me spinning my head, catching my breath, too afraid to slow down. I tell myself to keep this up, that God wants more than just my love. I've been complicating things, it's just like me to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple, bring everything right back to ground zero. It all comes down to this. Love God, love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking, but if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God, love people. Oh, this is freedom. The keys to the kingdom. Knowing life will be found when love can be allowed, 'cause love is what it's all about. I tell myself to keep this up, that all God wants is just my love. No more complicating things, no more need to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple, bring everything right back to ground zero. It all comes down to this. Love God, love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking, but if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God, love people. Love is patient, love is kind, rescues hearts and changes lives. Love is all we need to make things right. Gotta keep it real simple. But it
Thank you, Emmeline, for that. This is our prayer for our offering, and also it will serve as our benediction, and we'll let Catherine go to the door to greet you as you leave. We do want to remind you that this week, the Deacon of the Week is Russell Hamrick. So if you need something and can't get a hold of someone in the office, feel free to contact Russell. If you would pray with me. Father, we ask again today for you to renew our hearts and minds, throwing off our old selves, our selfish, greedy, closed-minded selves at times isn't something we can do on our own. Equip us with the strength and the desire to change, and the strength and desire to love, so that we might not just be your followers, but that we would look like your followers and be used by you. Amen.